103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Hello, hello, hello. That's a hello for each of our listeners. You're all in, all three of you. Good, the class can begin. This is The Sod Show 103.2. It's Dublin City FM with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Good afternoon. It's Friday again. It came around so quick. What a week it was. A week of Garth Brooks and Garth Brooks and Garth Brooks. And I did say I was not going to mention him, didn't I? Oh, I didn't. Sorry. On today's programme, it's Cider Friday.
I am a cider drinker.
I'm a cider drinker. Are you a cider drinker? That's the Wurzels and I'm a Cider Drinker, which is a cover of the George Baker Selection's Una Paloma Blanca. The Wurzels from Somerset, they were famous for their cover songs in the 70s, covered Melanie's Brand New Key as a Brand New Combine Harvester, you might remember. Or maybe you're much younger than Peter and I and you don't remember any of that. But anyway, on today's programme, we're talking cider. That's all coming up in a couple of moments' time. First, let's go to the news. Sodshow.com/news is where you can check out everything that's worth reading on horticulture and gardening and the news that's approved and sent to us by all our friends around Ireland who have great news for us. And Carmen Cronin in Clare sends us in news of the garden festival that's happening in Blarney in Bloom 2014. Get all the details on that at sodshow.com/news. But basically, it's on this Saturday in Blarney. Where else? And it's on from 10 until 5 at Blarney Castle. And you can check out blarneycastle.ie for all your details. Blarney in Bloom on Facebook. And as I said, it's on our news blog, sodshow.com/news. Also coming up in a couple of weeks' time, the Carlow Garden Festival. That's on Friday the 25th of July to Monday the 4th of August. Check that out, sodshow.com/news. I won't read out all the details here. It's a couple of weeks' time. Check it out on the internet. Brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can download them into your shopping trolley. Greensacks, sponsoring the Sod Show for the last, how long? A long time now. A couple of years anyway. Now, today's programme. It's all about cider. If I think of cider, I usually think of those squashed cans disposed of in inner city areas that have been drunk and discarded, and they're of the cheapest available alcohol price unit volume thingamajigs. And it's a very refreshing drink if you've ever tasted cider. But today we're hearing about cider from an expert who knows his stuff about cider. We're talking with Mark Jenkinson of Cockagee Cider, and he's talking with our very own producer, Peter Donegan.
In my company is
Mark Jenkinson.
Mark, for those who don't know you, what is the name of your company?
Well, it's the Cider Mill, but my product is called Cockagee Keith Cider.
For those outside of Ireland who don't have a mead accent, is it? Yeah, a mead accent it is. I've got the nod of approval on that one. Can you spell the
Cockagee? C-O-C-K-A-G-E-E. And that is it's the name of an old Irish apple tree that's now thought to be extinct. In Irish, it said cacagid, which means is translated into English as goose turds, believe it or not, which refers to the colour of the fruit on that apple tree, which was a yellow-green colour, similar to goose turds.
Your business is, there are 12-year-olds all over the country giggling at the name of that cider, and in my head there's one of them as well. Yeah, it has to be done. Okay, yeah. And there's husbands all over the country driving away for the weekend with their wives at 3 o'clock listening live to this, and they're getting a punch in the left shoulder saying, explain that one to me. Okay, moving straight on. You strike me, Mark, you have a goatee, and you have a kind of the shirt on that I would have worn when I was in college, when I had long hair and I had sideburns and I brought my vinyls to college with me. Am I far off the mark? Are you a little bit of the hippie-esque, but you cut the hair to look a bit smarter, like myself?
Well, maybe a little bit, but I just like to keep it casual, that's all.
How did you get into the apple business? Because for cider to happen, obviously, I know that we need to have apples. So I suppose the first question is, do you grow your own apples?
Yes, I do. I have a what you might call a small holding over in Slane. And I only have a few hundred apple trees at the moment, which isn't enough for commercial viability. So I use those apples, and I also buy in apples for to make the cider. But I started off maybe about 10 years ago just making some apple juice for my kids, and it kind of naturally progressed from there, you know.
How, and can you explain to me, how old are the apple trees? And in that also, can I ask you, part two of the question is that from my other visits or previous visits to other apple farms, I'm told that the trees have a shelf life, a commercial shelf life, that is, of about 12 to 15 years, a little bit like a rose plant.
Yes, intensive commercial orchards, the trees would have a lifespan of about that. Older, bigger trees would have a longer lifespan. I have a few old trees in around my house, which is what started me off making apple juice. The few hundred trees I've planted, I've mostly propagated them myself from going around and collecting unusual varieties and trying to search out the Cockagee apple tree, which is now thought to be extinct, and I graft them onto rootstocks that would be a little bit longer lived, maybe 40 or 50 years, and some of the rootstocks may be up to 100 years. So there's different types of rootstocks for apple trees that serve different purposes, you know.
Okay, for those of you who are not professional apple tree growers, and believe me, there is a big difference between going down, buying one apple tree in a garden centre, planting it into your back garden, and that Mark would have described, something I would have done when I was in college. So we'll break this down in short. Grafting is?
It's where you take a cutting off the tree in the winter, and a small sliver of wood, and you graft it onto a bare root, and it's just the root of another apple tree that they're called. If there's MM106, MM111, they're all different code names, if you like, for the growth rate of that rootstock. And you graft on the apple that you want, you graft it onto the rootstock, and It's the following spring it sprouts. You do this in the winter, and it's just, say, take a common apple like Golden Delicious. If you had grafted a Golden Delicious piece of wood onto the rootstock controls the growth rate of the tree. So you could have a small dwarf tree. Most of what you would buy in a garden centre would be fairly dwarf. They might only grow to 6 or 8 feet high. Some of the bigger ones can grow quite big into a small, the two-story building, even that size, apples come true from seed. So if you take seeds from a Golden Delicious and you plant them, when it eventually grows up, the apples on it won't be a Golden Delicious, so the only way to propagate them is by grafting, if you want the exact same apple.
Okay, so in short, let me take all of my horticultural qualifications and the letters after my name, and I'll break this down for you. If you take the legs of a Donegan and you graft them onto the body, the upper torso of a Mark, essentially that's what you're doing. You're merging one with the other, and you come out with the one that is better. Okay, that doesn't really work out too well, but you get what I'm saying. It'd take two cartoon characters and mix the uppers around. That's, in short, that's the way it goes. And generally speaking, it is done for one reason is growth rates, and the other is diseases, and et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on. it's a little bit of an old skill at this stage of the game. It's something that I remember seeing when they joined the two. In humans, you'd put a plaster on your finger, if that makes sense. In trees, when you wound one and you merge it with the other, they used to seal them up with wax. Do you still do it that way?
Yes, it's sealed up with wax. A little bit of tape first, and then seal the whole thing with wax so moisture can't get in, and also so it doesn't dry out. And, you know, in the spring when the sap starts to rise from the... You plant the rootstock, you know, in the winter with the graft on it. When the sap starts to rise from the rootstock, then the buds, the dormant buds on the little grafted part burst open, and that's where your new tree is started. If you look at any tree that you've bought yourself in a garden centre and look at it out in your garden, if you look down at the bottom, you'll see a knobbly part, sort of, and that's where the union or graft was done.
Why and how did you get into that? Because, you know, I went to college with Matt Neeson, who's an Angle Neeson Trees down in Cork. Matt was the son of a Dutchman, so we all assumed, and we were right to assume, that Matt was, like, you know, nearly reared instead of a bottle and a dodie or a suitor. He would have had a grafting knife and a bit of a rootstock on an upper part of a tree. How did you get into that?
Well, it all came about trying to search for the Cockagee apple tree, which, as I said, is thought to be extinct. But this particular tree, over the last 200 years, it was grown extensively all over Ireland and the UK. It was very famous. I found ship's records and different publications and that, of Cockagee champagne cider, if you like, being exported worldwide to America, Africa, Australia. So it just fascinated me trying to... find this tree. So I visit old orchards in old 18th century houses, and I taught myself how to graft, how to save these old... It's the exact same thing what seed savers in Clare are doing. They hold the Irish collection of native Irish trees, and I any interesting ones I find, I send them over to them, and vice versa, you know. And, you know, it's just a matter of teaching myself how to graft, you know.
Okay, wow. Okay, let me give you the other scenario that I remember quite well. End of apple season, when they all fall from the tree and the leaves are just about gone, is approximately what month?
October would be hard. Well, between September, October and November, depending on the variety, because you've got early, mid and late season apples, you know. The earliest ones, like some of the nice old Irish ones, like Irish peach, will be quite early. Maybe the end of August you'll get lovely apples, you know. But early apples, they don't keep very well. They go soft very quick. Mid-season apples, again, they keep a little bit longer. But it's the late season apples that really have the best flavour, make the best cider and keep the longest, you know. Usually the leaves wouldn't fall even till later, you know. I noticed last year some of my trees still had their leaves in December almost.
So from my reckoning, here's how... Again, this is for, you might say, the non-gardener, coming from the very intelligent and superbly good-looking me to you, just to give you a rough timeline. Apple trees would have come into flower in general around about the May-June mark. We have fruits appearing around about the end of June, July, somewhere in between. And then the final apples would fall somewhere around about the October-ish kind of generally mark. And this is only £1 or a thousand. We're not far off the mark of it. When I was in Kildalton, when all of the leaves were gone off the trees and all the apples were sitting down on the ground, they used to be bagged up. They might have been sitting there for 3-4 weeks. They could have had the little creepy crawlies, as some people would know them, crawling through them. Into the bag you go, when they were sent off for cider making.
Yes, I mean, most cider apples grown commercially in commercial orchards, they're harvested off the ground. And, you know, what has come, they are, when they get to this the cidery or cider factory, whatever, wherever they're going, they are washed. But the fermentation itself kills any nasties that may be in there, you know. So at the end of, by the end of fermentation, you know, there's really no, you know, the cider is safe to drink. I mean, everyone learns in school that in medieval times, even children drank beer because the water was unsafe. But the easiest way to make water safe was to make beer, a low alcohol beer. And because the water was so almost poisonous in those years, you know. So, yeah, there's no problem harvesting off the ground. If you're making apple juice to consume, fresh or pasteurized, they must be harvested, hand-picked off the trees. So they don't get contaminated off the ground.
And there we take a break from cider just for a moment, a musical break on the Sod Show, as we have every week. It's Song of the Week. And this week, a song that is close to our hearts here on the Sod Show, because we're old folkies. Well, we try to be. Sometimes we listen to music that's way older than our own ages would be given away as. And this week we go back 50 years ago to this very day, and number one in the United Kingdom, the charts that the world looked to during the British pop music explosion. The number one song was a song from an English band from Newcastle in England that was storming the charts in America as well. They electrified a very old traditional folk song with electric rock, blues and folk, and put this particular tune all the way to the top of the charts this week in 1964.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call
The Animals and the House of the Rising Sun. Let's get back to cider drinking. Here's Peter Donegan.
So long have you been growing apples for now?
About 7 or 8 years, I think I first started grafting apple trees. Maybe the few hundred trees I have, they're quite young. They're only just starting to produce apples, and it's an experimental orchard as such. I would have probably 60 varieties there, and I'm seeing which ones grow the best before I plant up the rest of the land I have. And in the meantime, I buy in from other local orchards, close and further away from me, you know, from Kilkenny, from Armagh, from Dublin, and next door to me there's an orchard as well.
Wowie, okay, so we'll bring this back now to the bit that we all wanted to get to, which essentially is the cider. When you get to the end of the season, do you wait for that? Do you collect up all of the soft apples that have been lying on the ground? Do you eat your way through breakfast, lunch and dinner while you're walking, and therefore you wait till October? How, in short, does the golden juice from the apples get into the bottle that you now sell, which in short makes you extra dosh or dosh?
Well, normally, because I'm actually, my cider is keeved, so it's a particular type of cider, it's an old way of making cider, and because of that I need to leave it till late in the season, late October, early November, when the temperatures have dropped a little. So I would generally store my own apples and buy any apples I'm buying in from other orchards. I store them for a few weeks to kind of ripen up, and for the starch to convert to sugar in them, and for them to become a little soft, because the flavour to develop in them. And then at that stage, when the temperatures are around 5 degrees maybe, or below 10 degrees let's say, I mill the apples and press out the juice, and then I would I keeve that juice, right? To explain that, is there's a lot of pectin in apple juice. So if you have the right bittersweet type of apples, this gel, a pectin gel, forms in the cider, in the juice, and it rises to the top of the vat. And this is called, in French, is called the chapeau brun, or in English is called the flying lees. And what you're left with underneath that gel is a very crystal clear, really aromatic, fresh apple juice. And I siphon off that into another tank. The chapeau is discarded, basically, and then I ferment that really fresh juice, and it ferments very slowly. It ferments for about 8 months, and most other ciders or beers would be fermented in a matter of weeks. This takes iced juice I pressed last October, November is still fermenting now, and I would bottle it about 8 months later, and it's matured then in bottle for about a further 6 months. So it's made in exactly the same way as champagne, actually. So everything in it is natural. It's not been sweetened, force carbonated, pasteurized, or filtered. You know, even the carbonation in it is a soft, natural carbonation formed by the yeasts in the bottle.
The bottle itself looks like a champagne bottle, exactly as you said. We bumped into each other, I should add, for those at home, when I was talking to our neighbour Nicola from the Big Red Kitchen, an interview you would have heard some weeks ago. But it kind of struck me as a lovely little product, and you also had a big, huge bell kind of type glass jar, something you might have seen in a science lab 30 years ago. I wouldn't know about that. I'm a little bit younger, or maybe not, you know what I mean. But it's you have a really beautiful packaged end product. How long has it taken to get to that where people actually turned around and went, that looks good, it tastes good, it smells good, it's presented really well? How long did it take to get that right, being that you're more of a horty kind of a hippie-ish, smarter-looking now grower, which I kind of semi-identify with a little bit?
Well, it's taken since I started. It's been a progression, an evolution since I started juicing apples probably almost 10 years ago. But it's in the last, it's when I first started to kieve the juice, which was within a few years of starting to make cider. I learned about kieving, and I started to make kieved cider. And I realised very quickly, just with family and friends tasting it, that it makes a really fantastic cider. And, it deserves to be almost, you know, bottled in a champagne bottle. This isn't designed to be drank over ice in a pint glass. This is to be chilled and drank in a wine glass, you know, shared over a meal. It's posh cider, basically, you know.
Posh cider indeed. And curiosity killed the cat. Can I ask how much this upper class cider now costs?
Well, it's at the moment it's in several off licenses in Dublin, and it's retailing at between 10 and 11 euros a bottle.
Do you want to give those off licenses that we mentioned?
Yeah, sure. It's in the drink store in Stonybatter, Redmond's of Ranelagh, and Sweeney's Wines in Glasnevin.
And it would be about the 10 to 12 quid mark there, approximately?
Yes, somewhere around there.
How was the process when you were trying to perfect, inverted commas, the product? Did you have a lot of trials? Did you have to have a lot of, inverted commas, parties where you trialed the produce? Was that a good thing to do? Was it a bad thing to do? Did you enjoy it even though it wasn't a perfect product?
Yes, there's a lot of trial and error with it. So over the years, I would have probably every year made maybe 20 to 25 different batches, different mixes of apples, and trying different things with them, and then bottling them in several different ways. And then I would get a panel of tasters. It wouldn't necessarily be a party. We'd generally genuinely try to taste them correctly, you know, looking at the colour and clarity of it, pouring it, you know, the aroma and nose of the product, and then the taste of it, and scoring it on proper score sheets, you know, to see what ones worked and that, you know.
How is the business as it stands? Is it a full-time job for you? And the second part of that is, what does the future hold for a gentleman who has a couple of hundred apple trees?
Well, it's only new. I've only launched the product in the last month or two. So, but it's proven to be hugely popular, and I'm I'm a one man operation. So I'm flat out at the moment. Whether it's bottling, or here to today at a fair, or with my salesman hat on, calling around off licenses in Dublin and that, you know. So I it's my dream to make this, make a living out of this, you know, and out of my small holding. And I hope to expand that in years to come with, as a maybe, you know, do training courses or people can bring along their own apples to press in the autumn, or, you know, different things like that.
If people wanted to find out more, Mark, is there a website they can go to should these training courses come up and they wanted to, or maybe if there was somebody who wanted to stock it out there or indeed give it a trial and give you some of their hard-earned cash in exchange for some upper-class cider?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on the web at www.cockagee.ie, or I'm also on Twitter at Cockagee Cider.
Excellent stuff. Mark, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real genuine pleasure. And if you are driving or if you're walking and you don't have a pen and paper handy, as always, at Sodshow on Twitter or www.sodshow.com, we'll have all the links and show notes and indeed links to Mark's website up there indeed. Back to you, Brian, in the studio. And thanks, Mark. Really appreciate that.
Great. Fantastic to meet you.
Can we go and try some now?
Absolutely.
And yet again, Brian misses out on the freebies. 103.2 Dublin City FM. This is the Sod Show. Thanks to Mark and thanks to Peter. Peter is back with more here on the Sod Show next Friday, 3 p.m. With thanks to Katrina Redmond, who looks after our blogs at sodshow.com and on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at Sodshow on Twitter, and you can email us info@sodshow.com. Do get in touch with us. Also, thanks to greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can download them into your shopping trolley. Don't forget Blarney in Bloom 2014. It's tomorrow from 10 until 5 at Blarney Castle in County Cork. If you're heading down, do enjoy it. If you know anybody down that direction, do let them know that it's on. There's great talks all day long from 10 to 5. BlarneyCastle.ie for more details. Sodshow.com/news. We're back next Friday at 3. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.